wonderful Holy Spirit, we welcome your awesome presence in revealing your word to our hearts for this hour. And Father, I thank you for touching the hearts of your people. And thank you so much for the awakening and the awareness through your spoken word for this day that we're living in. Father, release a mighty anointing over these airways in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to go to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. I want to pull out some scriptures before we take our topic. In chapter 8, verses 1, it spoke how the people asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law. In verses 3, the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book. In verse 5, all the people stood up when Ezra was reading from the word of God. In verses 9, all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And in verse 12, and the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions. We want to combine these scriptures to come up with this topic, signs of true revival. Signs of true revival. When you hear the word revival, what comes to mind is a lot of noise, excitement, and running around. But true revival has nothing to do with emotions or emotionalism, but it has a lot to do with change, reformation, restoration and examination. Throughout history, there has been many revivals that you and I have read about, and those revivals has caused entire nations, cities, towns, countries to repent, change, and renew their commitment to God. We all have been to revivals, and many have been so emotional until we left tired, worn out, but not changed, not strengthened, not renewed. But we're going to see from the Word of God what true revival is and the effects it will have on one's life. You know, Jesus said something in St. Matthew, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Think of this. He said the laborers are few. There's much work, but not enough workers. And the reason why is because we're not being revived as saints to do kingdom work. In the book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, there are some things that point to true revival that I read to you earlier. And I pray that we can learn from them and then apply to our own lives to see greater things take place in and through us in these last and evil days. Now, before we go into the heart of the message, I want to give us three things that will cause God to send a revival, true revival, among His people. You know, I often hear people sing, Lord, we need revival, we need revival. But do you not know, realistically speaking, singing will not cause revivals to come? So let me give us these three things that will cause God to send true revival. Number one, His people coming together as one. I believe there's too much division in the body of Christ. And what I mean when I say division, all of us think that we're right and nobody else is wrong. Or the bottom line is we feel like we got everything people need, when that's not true. We're many members, yet one body. The members on your physical body need one another to function normally and properly. So in the body of Christ, and God knows there's a variety in the body of Christ, but if God is going to send true revival, where we see souls saved, demons cast out, people bound by drugs, and you name it, be set free, is going to take God's people coming together and forgetting their titles, forgetting their church affiliation, what denomination they're a part of. In St. John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman told Jesus, "For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." That's what's happening today. But we as God's people, if we expect to see true revival, we must learn how to put our idiosyncrasies on the side. The little small minute stuff we might not agree on per se. And yet come together as one. And then number two, God will send a true revival if we pray and repent as God's people. What's sad today is that there are so many believers who feel like they don't do wrong. You've been deceived by the enemy. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there is not a righteous man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And it's not that we are practicing sin, but we're going to blow it. Not that we purpose to do it. But when you do sin, acknowledge that to God. But what did God tell Solomon? If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, I will heal their land. So God was saying, if his people do this, so that means God is expecting his people to repent. Sins of commission, sins of omission, besetting sins, secret faults. Number three, God will send true revival if we as his people realize our need to change, and that without him, we can do nothing. What I see happening today in the church world is this health, wealth, and prosperity message has got us going crazy. People ain't living nothing, won't be prosperous. People not living right, just doing anything they want to do and expect God just to bless them. Well, if God just start blessing anything, God would have to back up in time and apologize to people that came before us. If God required holiness back there, he's requiring holiness today. So, we as God's people must realize our need to change. And that if it was sin back there, it's still sin today. Notice something. Change must first occur in us. Then it can take place for others through God using us. In Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through 37, the early church had been preaching, traveling, doing kingdom work, not frying chicken, not baking sweet potato pies, not having fashion shows. Oh, y'all don't like that one, I know. The early church had been doing kingdom work, casting out demons, raising the dead, watching souls be saved, and now they are being threatened not to preach anymore. So they, number one, came together, number two, prayed, and they sought the Lord. Number three, they realized their need for God. Saints, listen to me. If you don't realize your need for God, You will dry up on the vine. You will be sitting up in a church building until Jesus comes. You will never come to know your purpose as a believer if you don't realize your need for God. God has something for you to do. But God just can't use you any kind of way. There's structure that God is looking for out of our life. And as a result of what the early church did, there was change, they were filled, and they were empowered. So let me give us the signs of true revival and when we have been revived as God's people. Let me say this before we move on. Revival is for saints. Resurrection is for sinners. A person that's in sin don't need to be revived. But a person that's saved, who become cold, need to be revived. A person that's dead needs to be brought back to life. Resurrection. So, revivals is never for sinners. It's for the saints. And once the saints get revived, they can then reach those that's dead by helping them to become resurrected. Now, the signs of true revival. Number one, hunger for the word and not the world. That's a sign when you have been truly revived. You will have such a hunger for the word of God and not a hunger for the world. If you're still, as a believer, going to discos and nightclubs, and you see nothing wrong with that, I sometimes wonder if you really gave your life to Christ. How can you be an example to someone in the place you're in? You know good and well you ain't going to no nightclub to witness to nobody. You're going to pop your fingers and do whatever you're going to do. But you see, when you've been truly revived as a believer, you'll have a hunger for the word and not the world. Number two, you'll be open to receive the word, and listen to this, and you become enclosed to the world. Wow. Number three, you're not focused on how long the service is, but you're eager to hear and learn more from the word. Stay tuned for part two of Signs of True Revival. In continuing our teaching, Signs of True Revival, we left off on number three, not focused on how long the service is, but eager to hear and learn more from the word. You know, when you and I as saints was in the world, with some of y'all probably still there, going to discos, you didn't leave your house till almost 10, 11 o'clock at night. And you didn't come in the house until 6 that morning. Well, you knew it just got good around 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Then I was in a disco in a place that was destroying you. So what's the problem when you come to church and you might stay there maybe 2 or 3 hours? Oh, we can't see that. See, it take too long and we be in church too long. But you can sit in front of that TV for hours watching some ball game or watching whatever, and that don't faze you. But to sit in the church of God and to hear the word of God, you got a problem with that. Something wrong with you. That shows you there's so much of the world that's still in you that's got to come out. I've seen times we've had services, we'll start on Sunday morning at 10:30 and didn't get out till 5 o'clock that evening. And right before Hurricane Katrina hit the city, hear this good, I was preaching 6 times every week. I would preach from I was off on Monday, from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. For 3 solid months, I was preaching every day for 3 solid months, 6 days a week. We had 3 locations in the city of New Orleans. And you know what? I wasn't a bit tired. I would go to work, take a little nap when I come home, pray and get a bite to eat, and go to service. This was every day, Tuesday to Sunday, every week, for three solid months. Why? Because we were seeing true revival. We was watching God save because we was having Bible studies in people's homes in different parts of the city. We had service in the preacher's backyard, and people would be walking on the street, hear the preaching, and come and get saved. I watched a man come there who had a can of beer in his hand. He said, "Preacher, I heard you around the corner, and I had to come." He came in there, poured his beer on the ground, and gave his life to Christ. That's signs of true revival. We wasn't selling no chicken, no tamales, and cotton candy. We was preaching the gospel. What is my point? See, we focus on how long the service is. And that's why nothing is happening, because you can't rush God. And often if people say, "Well, I know it don't take all that time, and it don't take God all of that." Sometimes God want to see just how bad you want what he got. We too easy, we too impatient. You can't hurry God to move. And then when people come that's having problems, you can't rush services. Sometimes, and I've seen this, I've been to churches and they dismissed. They gave the dioxia or the benediction. People were still sitting in their seat and they gave the benediction. And get this, in the moment the preacher gave the benediction, God started moving. Now that's kind of strange. No, it ain't. That's the way God do things. See, because God said, "I'm going to wait till y'all stop your stuff and I'm going to do mine." And when the preacher gave the benediction, amen, nobody got out of their seat. He said, "Y'all dismissed." Nobody, they just sat there. And then the power of God started moving. People started getting delivered. Miracles started taking place. Why? Because the people came to learn something. We can't be rushing God. And see, that's a sign of true revival. You forget about how long you're in service. And God sometimes don't move when you think he should move. Because God's trying to break that stuff out of us, trying to hurry him. God, move now. Lord, you got to come now. You got to know God ain't got to do nothing now. You just got to learn to wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Number four, grateful to God for the word that he sends. Point number five, weeping because of what the word is showing us about ourselves that's not right. That's a sign of true revival. When you sit there and the word being preached, you ain't focusing on nobody but you. That word talking to you, that word is stripping you. You find yourself weeping and you find yourself saying, "Lord, I've been guilty of this. I've been guilty of that. Thank you for your word showing me myself." But you know what we do? We take that word we heard preached and go try to give it to somebody else without applying it to our own life, because we don't see nothing wrong with us. That's hypocritical. Get the mote out of your eye first. Then you can help your brother get the beam out of his own eye. See the point? We're trying to correct people when we need to be corrected, and we don't want to be corrected. So you see, you will weep because of what the word is showing you about yourself. That's a sign of true revival. Number six, taking what we have heard and learned and understood and sharing it with others. You would take that word you heard, whether it's on a Sunday, and you'd be so eager. Because why? You first of all applied what you heard to your own life. And then you was eager to share that word with others you met throughout the week or whatever. That's a sign of true revival. You're grateful to God for his word. And you say, "Lord, I got to share this word with somebody else. Because if it blessed me, I know it's going to bless somebody else." But you know what we do as saints? We just hear the word and hear the word, and we're getting fat. We're getting fat. Then we start debating. We start having preach outs. Who can preach the best? What preacher sound better than this one? And all that. That's carnality. That's worldly. God ain't got a thing to do with no preach outs. Who can preach the best? And who can holler like a cat who been hit by all that kind of foolishness? No. You would take the words you heard and share it with somebody else. Number seven, never letting a day go by without reading the word and spending time in prayer. That's a sign of true revival. You will never let a day come and go without you getting on your knees, talking to God, and then getting in the word, letting God talk back to you. See, when you're praying, you're talking to God. And when you read your Bible, God is talking back to you. And many of you wondering why I don't hear from God. Because you're not listening to God through His Word. Because you're not reading the Word, so God can talk to you. Quit reading the newspaper. Quit reading magazines. Pick up your Bible so God can tell you what He got to say to you. Amen. Number 8. Having set times to fast each week. That's why there's so much obesity in the body of Christ. So many saints overweight, fighting with this because you eat too much. Sometimes God wants you to consecrate your life. Push the plate, leave the plate in the cabinet. Don't take no pots out. Turn your plate over if you got food already cooked. Leave it there for a while and get before God. God, sanctify me a fast each week. Give me a day to set aside just to get before you. That's a sign of true revival. Because, see, listen, sometimes you have to add prayer, add fasting with your praying. Because just praying sometimes don't get it. Jesus told His disciples, this kind coming out but by prayer and fasting. You will reach of this kind. And there are so many of this kind in this day. Hallelujah. So you see, you would have set times to fast each week. That's a sign of true revival. Number 9, not living on the world principles, but on the Word principles. What does the Word have to say? And God pressed my heart with this. Listen to me, saints of God. If you get that newspaper and go to the horoscope to find out what your horoscope got to say to you today, you are entertaining demon spirits. You are entertaining demon spirits. Listen to me good. You're being seduced by a spirit and you don't even know it. Because if you're trying to find out what the horoscope has to say to you about whether or not you should do this, you should do that, who to be careful of, that's demonic and God ain't got nothing to do with that. God said, cut that stuff out before you get yourself messed up. Find out what God said in His Word about every day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. No weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. That's what God is saying to you. Quit reading the horoscope to find out what some person who studied the stars, who dealing in demonic stuff you have no idea about, got to say to you. And you'll find yourself believing what they're saying. You know what will happen? That stuff will start happening in your life. You could open a door for demonic influence and demonic oppression. So God should cut that foolishness out and get in the Bible. Find out what God's Word is saying. So stop living on the principles of the world. What the world got to say. No, what does God's Word say? Amen. Number 10. Keeping a repenting heart and spirit. Saints of God, don't ever think that you're not going to blow it. And there are so many of you that never repent because you feel like you never do wrong. You've been deceived. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why you think John said that? If we confess our sins, because you're going to blow it. Not that you're purposing to do it. But so many of you saints, you feel like you missed perfect and missed the perfect. You've arrived. You have gotten there. You beyond repenting. You crazy. And you done lost your mind and you need deliverance. Number 11. Freely worshiping the Lord on our own without being told to. That's a sign of true revival. Nobody have to pump you and prime you to raise your hands to give God praise. Just bless the Lord. Just adore Him. Because when you recognize what God has done for you, nobody ain't got to ever tell you to raise your hand and give Him some praise. Hallelujah. Obedient to leadership. When you've been revived in the sign of true revival, you won't be rebelling against authority. Amen. Number 13. Not dragging in church late and leaving early. When you've been really revived, you will be punctual when it comes down to church. You'll be so excited to get to church because why? I don't know what God's going to do, but I don't want to miss it. Revival is never supposed to stop or end, but it should be an ongoing thing. As I close, a forest that has thousands of trees can catch fire in a couple of minutes using one match. So God wants to use us as a match that will cause us to catch on fire to inspire. So it's time for us to get on fire, stay on fire, and do what it takes to cause the blaze to never go out in us. God told Moses to order the people to bring pure olive oil to keep the lamps burning in the temple always. And that means God must always have a light in every generation that will shine for him in spite of the darkness that's in the world. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word and for making us aware of what true revival is. Forgive us for getting off into other things instead of preaching nothing but your word. Cleanse us, wash us in the blood, and renew a right spirit in us. And Father, put us back on track to fast, to read, and to live right. And Father, in Jesus' name, help us to apply your word to our lives first before trying to give it to others. And Father, we thank you for reviving, starting in us and with us. And increase your anointing on our lives for greater service for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, signs of true revival.